Greetings from CWH. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us today for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. We welcome you to invite your friends, family, and neighbors to view this timeless program with you. We are delighted to read your letters and respond with resources to help and encourage you. A recent letter from Wisconsin reads, "I am 101. The Sunday sermons from Pastor Salem are my favorite on television. They are right from the Bible and give me peace and love. I have had a wonderful life. Many dear ones are caring for me now. Please send me your 3 booklets available. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Can a Christian lose their salvation? And can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? Please pray for me and thank you. Today's message, our glorious Savior, shares scriptures that are filled with beautiful pictures of Jesus. We hope it will comfort you and give you hope and strength. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that you've opened the door for us so we can come into your home. Or if a truck driver, he means maybe he's opening a window or something, we can come in, or maybe he's got a radio. And we'll just have a wonderful time, and we're going to worship the Lord. And our sermon's entitled, "The Glorious Savior." And it's always a joy to preach about Jesus. That's all we know is Jesus and Christ and Him crucified. So I hope that you'll just pray for us and join us as we worship Him together. We're looking at Psalm 61 today, where the psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth until I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy, and I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wonderful Savior. We thank you that he loves us and cares for us, and that all that come unto him he will no wise cast out. He'll receive anyone, any place, anywhere, no matter what the sin. So we're worshiping him today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing for us today, "Love Lifted Me," and God bless you, Barb.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful living service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Nothing else could help. Love lifted.
Thank you, Barb, and that's the gospel. God is love, and he loves all of us, and he will lift us. That's what the psalmist said, that he was in the miry clay. He was in the pit, and he couldn't get out. And he says, he lifted me, and he set my feet on a solid rock, and he put a joy in my heart. And that's because he loves us. And I don't care what you've done or how badly you've sinned, he loves you, and he wants you to come to him. But I have to say in the same breath, that love is going to end. The moment we pass out of this world, the moment we die, then we're with the Lord or not with the Lord. We're with the Satan. And so we just need to, there'll be an end of that love when we die. There's nothing beyond the grave. And so we just accept Jesus now and live in that love and all eternity. That's going to be the theme of heaven, the wonderful love of God. Well, we want to thank you for writing. We get so many nice letters. We read every one of them. And if you have a prayer request, we pray for you in the office. We have a staff there, and we pray for all those people that have requests a prayer. And then some of you have questions, so we answer some of the questions, try to, and we're going to answer some in just a minute. But I want to urge you to write to us, and when you write, send us a gift and help us in the work. Have to pay our way just like anything else, anybody else, and that's the way we want it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not begging anything. We'll pay our way just along with the rest of them and do it rejoicing. And so get your pencil and paper, then in a little while I'll be giving the address. But first, let's look at some of the letters. The first one comes from Austin, Minnesota. This man writes, "You help me. You've already changed my life by 100%. I always say, get the coffee ready and my Bible reading. It's time for happy time. I love to watch your service. You have a way to make things much easier, much better. I've been disabled and have PTSD since Vietnam. This is the first time I've really seen the words and understood them. Thank you." And here's a dear brother, and I called him and talked to him. And the other day he gave me a ring and was telling me he's still watching and praying for us. And in Austin, Minnesota. So we're going to spend eternity together. And I'm just so thankful. Thankful for all of those people, men and women, who served in our country, for our country. And some of them, many of them, gave their life. And many of them have to have trials all their life because of their service. And we appreciate them. Thank God for them. Let's see. Dear Lodge, Montana. And this is from the prison in Deer Lodge. "I am daily in the Bible and prayer. Fellowship is a little hard to come by right now, being I am locked down 23 hours a day until I get to general population. Then I'll be able to attend a regular service with other believers. I remember a letter you wrote me months ago, before getting here, about talking to a man talking to one man at a time about Jesus while I'm here. Kind of use my time as a missionary for Jesus. I pray daily, God, use me, speak through me to tell others about Jesus and repent and change their lives. Pastor, please pray for me." And this is a man, and he was in prison. He was in jail, hadn't been sentenced yet, and he wrote. And I told him, "Now, when you get there, you be a missionary for Jesus." That's just exactly what he's doing. And we hear from so many, from Deer Lodge, from prison, we've heard from 15 different people. And we encourage them, do a bit. St. Paul was in prison, and he was a missionary. He talked to others about Jesus, told them about Jesus. And maybe, you know, maybe you'll win many to the Lord. Who knows? But you can be a missionary. Shine for Jesus. What do they say? Bloom where you're planted or whatever it is. But just be happy in the Lord. Here's Springfield, Minnesota. "May God richly bless you and all of the Christian Worship Hour staff who keeps your ship running smoothly to keep your ministry on TV. I love you all in Jesus' name." We do have a wonderful office staff of 7 different people. And they, needless to say, I wouldn't get to first base without them. And they're all wonderful, dedicated Christian people. We have one gentleman and 6 of the ladies. And we have a wonderful time of fellowship. And we're all dedicated to Jesus Christ, everyone. And yes, they make it possible. A lot of people make it possible. Our technicians today and our musicians and our board and all of you that send gifts and all of you that pray, we're all on the same team. And when we get to glory, we're all going to reap the rewards of serving Jesus and getting the word out. Could Goodridge, Minnesota, they say, I'm so encouraged to see someone older who is finishing strong. It is so sad to see so many older people who think that now they can't do anything for the Lord. But as long as God gives us life, we can do something. Well, I'm 96, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to serve the Lord as long as I've got breath. And you should too. Some of you have many experiences with the Lord, and you're strong in the Lord, but maybe you're in a wheelchair. Maybe you're confined to a home or something. So he says, well, I'm done. I'm finished. Well, you should start again. You witness to everybody you can. You pray have a prayer list that you pray for. Some of you have money. You can put money into the Lord's work and just be a shining light for the Lord. And you know what God says? In Psalm 92, verse 14. Listen, he's talking to the old people now. He's talking to the old gray heads. This is what he says. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Fresh and flourishing. Well, the body isn't flourishing, but the inner man is. And the old outside man, that deteriorates, and the inner man gets stronger, and it is flourishing. Why, I just rejoice in the Lord all the time. And maybe you got some aches and pains. That's fine. That means you're alive. And just to walk with the Lord and witness for the Lord. Let's see. Fargo, North Dakota. I was so happy when I found the worship hour on TV, as I do not get to church because of finding a ride. When I heard you preaching salvation only through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, and Calvary's message made me praise and shout. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful servants preaching the truth of the word. Please send the new song. Now, the new song is a little devotional Bible study that we had, a new one every week, every month. And this month, the month of January, it's about the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. And so I know you'll enjoy it. And I know you're saying, oh, yeah, I want to subscribe. What's a subscription cost? Doesn't cost anything. If you can send a gift, that's fine. If you're dead broke, you don't have a penny right to us, we'll send it free and postpaid. Somebody else will pay the way. We always had enough. God's always provided. And so they say, they're so glad that we're preaching. And they're glad that we're preaching the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Well, that's what St. Paul did, didn't he? Galatians 6:14, he says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's the main cause, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious message. Omaha, Nebraska, you sent me the book on suicide. It made me feel so much better as my first husband committed suicide. What a terrible thing to happen to a whole family. And so it's a little 12 pages, I think, and a scripture. It's not that I died and came back to life again, or I had visions or something like that. It's what the Bible says, what God says. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you receive Jesus Christ, you will never perish. And if you commit suicide, that doesn't make a bit of difference. You will never perish because all of those sins are paid. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid. And most people understand this, that he died for all of the sins, our sins, up to the time of the cross. They have no problem about that. But you know what else he did? He paid for all the sins beyond the cross as long as we live, as long as the world stands. Otherwise, you have to go back to the cross every time we sin. It's all paid. And if you commit suicide and you shouldn't do it, we're not promoting that. Don't get that wrong. But if God gives us that promise, we belong to him and we're safe. And if you want a copy of this little booklet, just write suicide. I'll give you the address in a minute. Send a gift if you can. If you're dead broke, write anyway. We'll help you out. We'll send you a book. Here's Abaco, Bahama Islands. My wife and I are still enjoying your program. Continue to preach about Jesus because he is the only way to heaven. Yours in our Savior's name. And here's this dear person, and that's exactly right. You know, there are some people think, oh, there's a lots of different ways to heaven. And heaven is on the top of a mountain. And there's a lot of paths all around that mountain. And we're all going to the same place. We're all aiming for the same place. Would you ever aim at something and you missed it? We do have pheasant hunting around here, and they took me out pheasant hunting. They didn't take me very often because I don't think I hit anything. I scared one pheasant a lot, but that was about all I ever did. So I aimed at a lot of things, and I didn't hit it. And you may aim at heaven, and you end up in hell because there's only one path to God, only one. You say, that's awful narrow. Yep, it is. You betcha. And God, because Jesus says, in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one door to heaven. Now, there's all the pearly gates, but you don't get to the pearly gates till you pass through Jesus. And this wonderful salvation, I love the church. I spend most of all of my life preaching in the churches, and I love the church. And the church is instituted by God. It's the custodian of God's word. That's what it is, to hold forth the word of life. But the church can't save you, and the rituals can't save you, and nothing else can save you but Jesus. And you get Jesus, and then you get into the church and help, because that's where we belong. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. One more letter. Don't you just love these letters? I know that some of you do. I think I've got a letter now. I don't know if I've got it in this week or next week, or I guess next week maybe. But they just love these letters because they said you explain different things and you don't have to hear a whole sermon. We get many sermons. Yep, and you get them all for the same cost. No more charge. Should charge extra. You know, if you go to the restaurant and you want something extra, you have to pay for it. You just get all this free. And whatever your gift, you get the whole thing. Well, this letter comes from Memphis, Tennessee. And they write, I thank God that you come into our lives each week and when we listen to your sermons every Saturday. Not all preachers preach the word. So that's why we get a lot out of each of your sermons. May God bless you. Love your brother and sister in Christ. Now, I don't know. I don't get to listen to a lot of these services on the air. But I know we do hear from people where we're not getting the word of God. We want to hear the word of God. And we want to have the emphasis on Jesus. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me. And again, he says in 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. And Paul, every time he preached about the crucifixion, he talked about the resurrection because Jesus died on that cross to pay for our sins. He shed his blood. And God says in 1 John, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood has to be shed, and it has to be the precious blood of the Son of God. And that's what he did. And so I'm just praying today that you'll put your faith in that wonderful Savior. And I hope that and pray that you'll help us in our work. And if you want to send us a gift, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember, 2002. And I go a little bit slow on this because all of you can see it on the screen, but we have a multitude of people on the shortwave radio, and they don't have a screen there, so I go a little bit slow for them. And that's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And if you want to send a gift, that's wonderful. We have to have your help. We can't carry this on. What you need to do is you just say, Dear Lord, is this something that you want me to support? Do you want me to give toward this ministry? And he'll tell you, God, the Holy Spirit will let you know, yep, you should. Or he says, no, spend it somewhere else. Put it somewhere else. Be sure you give, though. Support God's work. And then you can just say, how much should I give? and you do it, and we'll get all that we need. Now, we also want to remind you that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means it's an international organization, and they audit our books, and they're just that with a fine-tooth comb. And you can be guaranteed that every penny we get is deposited and used just exactly what we say in the preaching of the gospel. So I hope that you'll write to us. Let me give it one more time for the shortwave people. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to do it in a short, different way, you can get us christianworshiphour.com. And you can send a gift that way, PayPal or a credit card, either way. And we can use it to carry on. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God leads. Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan, and God bless you. And we're reading now from 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, and I know some of you have your Bibles, and you get to some of them, they get all dressed up and everything. And then some of them, and that always makes me nervous, they sit in their easy chair, their their big long chair where you can rest. And oh, I wonder if you can stay awake. I just hope you can stay awake. Because I preached in enough churches, and they had those hard old, just plain old board pews, and they went to sleep on them. So if you get an easy chair, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll leave that up to the Lord. Here's 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the 15th verse. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the abundant, excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We have also a more word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take to heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the Holy One of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted Christians in Egypt. So, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the day star, this wonderful Savior who came to bring light into the world and light into our lives. And we were once in the kingdom of darkness, and Satan ruled that kingdom. And it was a terrible, horrible existence that we had. And then the light of the world, you came and you shined through. And we responded to that light. And now we are in the kingdom of light. We've been taken from the kingdom of darkness into the wonderful, glorious kingdom of light. And we will walk in the light and rejoice in the light until we get to the city of light. And then, oh God, won't that be so wonderful? We can't hardly wait to see you and our loved ones and to see what heaven is like. And so we just thank you for the light of the world, Jesus. And we pray that as we preach today and as the message goes out, that the Holy Spirit will speak to multitudes of people. And we pray that many will open their heart to Jesus and let the light shine in and they can say, yes, I've seen the light. My eyes have been opened. I see the things of God and they're glorious. And I'm walking with the Lord. May you have the victory in many, many lives. So, dear Lord, this is your service. We ask you to bless it and use it to honor and uphold the dear, beautiful Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray it in his name. Amen. Hank is going to sing for us, and he's going to sing All the Glory. And God bless you, Hank.
I want my life to bring glory to the one who died for me. I want to live, tell the story of the man from Calvary. I want my hands to fold in praise to the Lord. Every day. So warm and tender that his love can shine through. I want to be part of the splendor of what the Lord can do in a world that's so dark. I want to shine like a star. All the glory, all the glory. I want my life to bring glory to God. I want to stand up like a mountain when I tell about his love, and fall down beneath the fountain that flows from above, and lift up the cross to the dying.
Thank you, Hank, and God bless you, and that's our prayer, too. We want to bring glory to God, and we want to make our light shine. And you know what I just did? I had that prayer, and we're going to pray for the persecuted Christians in Egypt, and I forgot. I got to praying and thanking God about the light of the world, and I got all wound up in that, and I forgot the people in Egypt. So we're going to pray for them right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt, and some of them are suffering for you, and some are going through hard times. And just we know that you'll give them strength and you'll always be with them. And help them to know that we are praying for them, and help them to know that they are a great challenge to us. And they challenge us to see if we love you that enough so we would go through persecution. And so just bless and strengthen them and help us to become better Christians because of the dear brothers and sisters in Egypt. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that with our telecast goes into Egypt and we have those persecuted Christians and they're listening to us. I said, I'm going to pray for you, and I didn't pray for you. So, you know, when you get to be 96, let's give me a little latitude here. But we want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Savior. And there are all kinds of pictures in the Bible about Jesus setting some phase of his life or his ministry or something. It's always about Jesus. Spotlight all the way through the Bible is about Jesus. So I want to give three different scriptures today, and then we're going to see how they apply to Jesus. The first scripture is in Luke 1, verses 78 and 79, and Zacharias the priest makes this utterance. He talks about Jesus, and he says, through the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He calls him the day spring from on high. Then were the words of Job, and he's talking about this Messiah, this Savior. And he says, neither is there any days man betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both, a daysman. And then the third one is Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, he writes, we all have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So this is what we come up with. He, for the first, Zacharias talks about Christ as the day spring. That is, he gives us light. He brings light into this dark world. And then we have Job, and he talks about Christ, the day's man. And he's talking about bringing us to God, a mediator. The one is bringing light. Then he's showing you how he's a mediator, bringing us to Jesus. And then we look at Peter, and it says, Christ, the day star. And that's the picture of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth again to redeem us and to take us on to heaven. So let's look at these three different pictures of Jesus. The first one is Jesus as thy day spring. The day spring from on high hath visited us. This beautiful imagery is taken from the glory of the eastern sunrise. And Zacharias is the priest at this time. He uttered these words, and he would get up in the morning and do his rites at the church, tabernacle, or at this time it would be at the temple. And so he sees, looks over the mountains, and he sees the sunrise, and all is darkness, and all of a sudden this day spring, he calls it the day spring. It's a sunrise, and the sun is coming up, and the light is filling the earth. And so he says, it's like the sun rising at dawn, the day spring, like a dawn. Day spring in the English word is a beautiful word too, because there it's the picture of a fountain. It's the concept of a fountain filled with light. And then the fountain dips, it's open, it opens up and pours light on the earth. And that's the picture. He is the fountain that brings all of this light into this world of sin and darkness. The coming of the Messiah as a sunrise was a favorite figure of speech used by the prophets. Jesus, many times, is spoken of as a light. And when you read about Malachi, the prophet Malachi, he says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The rising of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus became then, and we call him and we preach it over and over, Jesus is the light of the world. Now it tells us the reason. It says the origin of this reason. Why does the Son come? Why does the Jesus come as a Son to bring light to this world? The origin of it is, and it says, the tender mercy of our God. That is, this God is sovereign, and this God is compassionate, and this God is a God of love. And so, because we're lost in this darkness, He is giving His Son, as the Son to come, the light of the world to come, to redeem us, to save us. And so you have John 3:16. God so loved the world in darkness. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave Jesus to bring this light because we're lost in darkness and there's no way out and there's no hope for us and we're hell bound. And so He sends the light of the world. And so that's the origin. It's the tender mercy of our God. And then it tells the purpose for this rising is also given in this scripture. And the purpose is to give light to them that sit in darkness. The world is a place of moral and spiritual darkness. That's why there's so much wickedness and so much craziness and so much evil in the world, because they're in darkness and they're lost and they're stumbling and they can't find their way. And so the world is a place of moral and spiritual darkness. It's ignorant and polluted and miserable, and it's a calamity. Only the coming of the blessed day spring can cause the day to break and the shadows flee away. Only His coming as light can wipe away the mists of ignorance and idolatry and sin and wickedness. Only the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ can do that with His mighty power to save and enlighten and to help us. The darkness pictures the world in ignorance of God. The Christless heart and the godless life are both midnight places. And that's why He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world is anti-God, anti-Christ. And it's in darkness and is lost and is on its way to hell. And so this wonderful Jesus comes and He opens, brings the light to the world. You know, when the world was created, we're told that there was darkness over the face of the earth, and God brought light. And in this darkness, men cannot see God, and they can't see heaven, and they can't find their way, and they're stumbling, and they're lost, and they're hopeless. There was a great Bible scholar named Dr. Jowett, and he has a picture of, paints a picture of this, where we're told they were sitting in darkness. And so he has a picture of a man, and he's sitting by an open fireplace, and it's a bitter, cold winter night. And there, the bright fire makes the room cheerful, and it's warm, and it's genial, and it's just a beautiful place as he sits by his fireside, and the blizzard is outside, and the darkness and the terribleness. And then he has a candle, and the candle fills the room with tender, mellow light. And as a man sits on, and he sits there, and pretty soon the fire burns low. And eventually it goes out in the fireplace, and then the warmth gives way to a searching chill. And pretty soon the chill gets so bad, it enters into the flesh of the man and into his very bones as he sits there. And then the candle burns out, and the darkness to the darkness is added, this awful darkness and coldness and this awful place. And there he is sitting, and he's in a terrible grasp of darkness and coldness, and he's lost. And there are people whose soul fire is just like that. There is no fire in the grate. The light has gone out, and they live in sin and in darkness, and they have no hope and no way out because they are blinded by the darkness and they can't see. Now, it wasn't always that way. When our first parents were in the Garden of Eden, they walked and talked with God and had fellowship with God. But then something changed. Sin came to this world, and there was a spiritual catastrophe. And though Adam and Eve walked and talked with God and visited with Him, all of a sudden that was cast away because their disobedience and their sins. And so they're put out of the Garden of Eden, and the sword is put there that can never come back. So just think of these two statements, sitting in darkness. That's where we were, and hanging in darkness. That's where Jesus was. He went to the cross and he hung there in awful darkness. And it was so terrible in that darkness that time that the sun hid its face at noonday. And there was darkness on the face of the earth. And he hung in darkness because you and I are sitting in darkness. And he came to make a way. And the result is the day spring came. And he made a way of escape for us. The light is here. The day spring. Christ is the day spring bringing light into the world. And then he's also called the daysman. And Job says, neither is there any daysman between us that might lay his hand upon us. A daysman is a judge or an umpire. He's an arbiter or an arbitrator. And the two words arbiter and arbitrator are practically the same, except arbiter suggests a settlement of a controversy according to the law. And an arbitrator decides something according to his own discretion. So when Jesus came, he came as an arbiter because he kept the law to the point, to the very point. And this makes Christ a daysman. He was called because he fixed the day for the settlement, when they're going to make the settlement take place. And one of the scriptures has it this way. Job said that he might lay his hand upon us both, meaning to meditate between us. Now, mediator is two words, two compound words. It means middle and to go. That is to go in the middle, or a middle person, or a go-between. And several ways a mediator can be used. For instance, a messenger might be a mediator. He has a message. I have a message I want you to have, and you don't have it. And so a third person comes, and he takes my message, and he takes it to you. And so God does that. This daysman, this Jesus, becomes this wonderful mediator. And from God, he has a message, and he comes to this world to give it to a lost world. This wonderful Savior is a mediator, and he carries the message. And remember what he said, my words I speak not of myself. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you what the Father told me to tell you. I am a mediator. And a mediator might be an interpreter. I speak one language, you speak another language. I can't understand you, you can't understand me. And so an interpreter comes and he knows both languages and he brings us together. That's what we're told in John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time until the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we don't know anything about God except we see his power and his might, but we don't know what he wants us to do or talk, anything. We just see his power. And then so Jesus comes, and he is that mediator, and he is making that way so that he can tell us what God is like. And he came to reveal the invisible God, and he that hath seen the Son has seen the Father. Jesus says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus brings us to the Heavenly Father. And so Job cries out for a mediator, and he realized the unequal terms on which he stood with God. And he says in 9 verse 32, Job says, he is not a man as I am that I should answer him. We should come together to judge in judgment. And Job was certainly conscious of his sins. And he says in verse 28, chapter 9, 28, I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. And in verse 20, he says, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I'm imperfect, it shall be prove me perverse. He recognized his inability to answer God because God is holy and he is sinful. And how are the two to ever get together? And so this is what Jesus does. He says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So here he is, Christ as the daysman, and he is the moderator to bring us to God. And then we have the third scripture taken from 2 Peter. He says that Christ is the day star, the day star. We have two in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. This passage should be translated, or could be translated this way. We have also the prophetic word made sure, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed in your hearts, as unto a lamp that shineth in a dark place till the day dawn and the day star arise. Jesus is called the day star. This means that we are in the nighttime of Christ's rejection, and the world doesn't want Christ, and the world doesn't want anything to do with God, and they want to rule God out of the schools and the Bible out of the schools, and they don't want any mention of God and never of Jesus. That's the world that we have now. And so there is a sense in which the day star arises in our hearts, don't you see? Because it means that this wonderful Jesus, we live in the darkness, but that day star comes and we have him in our light. So we have that life. Though we're in the darkness in a dark world, we have that wonderful Savior in our heart, the day star in our heart. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, God commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we are regenerated and we're born again when we come to the Lord. And so this wonderful, wonderful Savior becomes our Savior and becomes the light of the world. And I think also that this has a picture of the coming of Jesus Christ for his church. We call it the rapture. And there's going to be a time when Christ is going to come and he's going to just take out the church. He takes the believers, those that are born again. In some places, they don't call it the church. They don't call them Christians, because you can be a church and not have anything to do with the Lord. You can be lukewarm like Laodicea. And so we have this wonderful Lord Jesus. And so we have, say, believers. Are they a believer? Have they accepted Jesus Christ? And so all of those who have accepted Jesus, many of them are dead and their bodies in the graves and their spirit and soul with the Lord. But when Jesus comes again, the Lord himself is sent from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the church. That's the believers. The dead, those are cheaper people that knew Jesus and have died, they'll rise first. And then we which are alive remain to caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The day star has come and he's raising us from the dead. All of the Christians have died, and some of us will never die. I might not never die, because if Jesus comes, we are taken bodily into the presence of the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The day star, that beautiful day star. Now, the day star is sometimes called a morning star. It heralds the approval of a coming day. A day star, or a bright morning star, is one of the most brilliant in the heavens. It's large and it's magnificent. It's so bright that you can sometimes see it at midday. It arises in the east just a short time before the sun, and for that short time it alone in the heavens, flaming, as Milton says, in the forehead of the morning sky. All the smaller stars disappear 3/4 of an hour, and then the larger stars 1/2 hour, and finally the last one to go is the day star. And it is absolute monarch of the sky. And that's why Peter calls it a day star. It's a star in the daytime for just a short time. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the psalmist even talks about. He says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they watch for the morning to watch for him. We're looking for him to come. 2,000 years ago, the day star from on high visited us. That was the center of 2 eternities. That was the greatest event that the world has ever known or ever will know. It divided time in half, B.C. and A.D. We have every newspaper we have in the country talks about this coming of Jesus Christ when he was born of Mary, and he comes. And 2 millenniums we've been waiting, but the time is going to come when Jesus will come, and he'll come in all of his glory. But now he lives in his church, and he lives in the hearts of his believer, and that light shines into our hearts. Revelation 22, verse 16 says, Jesus said, I am the bright and morning star. And then immediately you have these words that follow that. The Spirit and the bride say, come. People mean this as an invitation, and it's asking Jesus to come, the morning star. He's going to come and shine in all of his glory, and the whole world is going to bow down, and every knee is going to bow, and every knee is going to bend, and every head's going to bow, and they're going to recognize and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Lord and is King of kings, but they won't go to heaven because if they're raised from the grave, they will have to acknowledge him as king, but they'll never have Christ, because you have to have Christ in this life and this life alone, because after death comes the judgment. And so we're waiting. We're waiting. The day star has come, and we're waiting for Christ to come in all of his glory. And Esther Rostai has put it like this. Sometimes the day seems long, our burdens hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished and we'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. My friends, are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? There can only be one way. You have to have him in your heart. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with him, I'll fellowship with him, and he with me. And so right now, maybe something you just feel. You don't hear a voice, you don't have anything like that, you don't have any special feelings, but you just know, I need Jesus. I want the day star to arise in my heart. And then sometime I'll see him in all of his glory and I'll belong to him. But if I don't take him into my heart, I'm going to continue into this darkness and I'm going to go into a hell that's darkness and solitary confinement and the most horrible place in the world. And you'll spend for eternity in darkness. And so we just ask you praying to just pray for Jesus. Just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'll ask you to please take away my sins, wash away your sins. You don't have to say all of that. Just ask him to come into your heart, take away your sins. And then you tell him that you'll forsake your sins, that you'll make him the Lord of your life and you'll follow him and walk with him, because repentance means turning. And Jesus always taught repentance. And so, Jesus, please come into my heart and I'll take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. And then you thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. I see the light. I see the light. And you may have feelings and you may not. It's just a transaction where you open your heart to Jesus and he enters in. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And he will be with you until you enter the pearly gates. And then we'll see him face to face. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you'd like to have our new song, yes, just ask for the new song. If you want any literature, you write and let us know. And send us a gift to help us, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And that's the way it should be. And so you can send that gift through the mail, or you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. But we need to hear from you. So you pray for us. You support us the best you can. Some of you people in prison don't have a lot to give, but you can pray. And there's power in prayer. And you pray, and God will see that we have it. All will come in, and it'll come in on time, and we'll carry on. We've been on almost 40 years. God has never failed us. So now I'm going to pray, Jesus. We're just praying today for all of those who open their heart to you. And give them that assurance. Help them to know that you are there and you will never leave them or forsake them. And to those who are lonely and those who are weary and those who are sick and those who are shut-ins and the young people facing the troubles and trials of life, oh my God, help us to love you and trust you and lean on you, and you'll see us through the light of the world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you for opening your homes for us and spending this time with you. We just love to come, and we'll be back next week, Lord willing. But if the Lord comes again, well, then I guess we just won't be here, will we? We'll be in heaven. We'll be walking the streets of gold. We'll be seeing our loved ones, and we'll be seeing Jesus. We'll see the saints of all ages, and we'll see God. We'll be in his presence. Can you imagine it? No, we can't imagine it. And so you pray for us. Be sure to send that gift. And tell your friends. Tell them to tune us in. We have one lady wrote, and she said that she goes to the laundry room, and she leaves literature in the laundry room. I don't know how you do it, but do any way you want. Get the word out, because they can't call on Jesus if they don't hear about him. But I'm going to tell you for sure, if you tune into the Christian Worship Hour, you'll hear about Jesus, because that's our central theme. You've got to have Jesus. And there's only one name given under heaven by where we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. So we're going to be looking for you next week. In the meantime, God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. What more could you want? God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.